السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا، أما بعد. Very briefly, I want to continue mentioning some of the methods in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to address the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in. Some I'm going to mention just for the sake of understanding the habit and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not every single one of these is practical when it comes to maybe speaking to your child, or it is. I can give a very practical example. But at least we get to learn the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if anything. So, another method in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in, and for this I can give a practical example. Originally I figured there is no practical example, but Allah instilled one in me. So, and that is, when on one occasion, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would take something that would be considered something that was, in this example, haram in Sharia. Okay? Something that was haram in Sharia. It was impermissible. So on one occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the masjid, and in one hand he had a gold bracelet, and on the other hand he had silk. And he stood up in front of the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in to make a point, to show them something, to practically show them. And he said, these two things have been made haram for the men of my ummah, of this ummah. And these two things have been made halal for this ummah. We all know the ruling of gold and silver, and silk rather, in relation to men. Unfortunately, these days I see many men wearing gold rings too. You could tell your wife we're still married, but take the gold ring off. It's okay. The marriage is still intact. I give fatwa. So I still see, you know, gold is haram for men in this ummah. In Jannah, we'll get it. But I was thinking of a practical example. You want to teach your child something. Here's a practical example that just came to my mind. This device will take you to Jahannam. That's what you do. This phone that I'm picking up right now, we have to teach our children. You know, there are two ways of teaching. One thing is to totally take something away. Absolutely forbid it. Keep them absolutely away from it. And that is a way. As a matter of fact, when your kids are young, that is the absolutely only way, in my opinion, when it comes to dealing with phones. My kids don't even want to know when I'm thinking about giving them a phone, because I haven't even thought that far ahead for them. You know, I can't even imagine it. So-and-so has it. It doesn't matter to me. It makes no difference to me. I'm worried about you and you only. But obviously a time comes where they have to utilize this, or else they'll be deficient in this dunya. So at that point you can raise this item to show an emphasis that, listen, you're getting this. And you can use it for good, but you can use it for evil. And if you use it for evil, it'll take you to Jahannam. So here is what I mean by a practical way of demonstrating the same thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, as to show more impact in what you're referring to. So wallahu alam, that's just an example I thought. So that's something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done. Another thing is, and this goes without saying, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not only teach when a question was posed, he gave information even when it wasn't posed. Just out of the blue, but obviously that's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was a teacher, so he was always teaching. So it was just mentioned in the book, so I'm mentioning it for the sake of mentioning it. And this is the last example that I want to give, or this last method. And this is something that I do quite often, and people find it quite annoying by me. But now I have dalil and I have proof, and you can no longer complain to me about it. And that is, when you ask a question, to give the questioner more information than what they asked you about. To say more than what they asked you about. So this was a method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he wanted to teach, he didn't answer just what you asked, but he answered that plus more. And to this I'm going to transition into something right after this example. So the example is very, very subtle. You may not even realize it, but it is an example. And that is, on the one occasion, the Prophet ﷺ was talking about Hajj. So the long story short, one day a Sahabiya, when he was talking about Hajj, she took her young child and she raised her child. So just imagine how young the child must have been. No age is mentioned, but a very young child. She picked her child up and she asked the Prophet ﷺ, is there Hajj for this child? Now answering to the question is, yes or no? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, there is Hajj for this child. We're not talking about fard and not fard. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, there is Hajj. Now he could have sufficed there. But he went on and he said, and for you there is a reward for what the child does. That's extra information. That is to tell you that if we want to just understand this hadith, because you know maybe we feel like we're being a little left off. The idea here, the Prophet ﷺ was instilling within this sahabiyah, was saying, yes, take your young child and go through the grueling task of Hajj with your young child, knowing this, that the fard of this child would not be fulfilled if this child grows up and gets to a point where they have enough to do Hajj on their own and Hajj is fard on them, this wouldn't have counted on their behalf. However, by taking that burden of taking your child, the child will get a reward for it. So will you. So will you. What do you learn from this? Often at times, especially even nowadays, people have young children and they delay their Hajj. I have too many young kids. Now, if it's about money, that's a whole different conversation. You don't have somebody to watch your kids. Then you don't even actually have fard unless you can, because the idea behind something being fard on you is not just money, but making sure that you know you have the money to take all your kids too. It's not like, oh, leave your kids in the house and walk away. So many times, let's go to a lower level, and that is Umrah. Many times, people avoid performing Umrah when their kids are young. It's hard. It is hard. I can tell you personally, I just took my kids in October, and it was not the easiest thing in the world. But you know, when you're there, Allah gives you himmah. Allah gives you strength. You know, you go to the masjid for all those salah, it's hot, but it doesn't matter. It's just like you have some spiritual strength within you that it gives it. Allah gives it to you when you're there. So from this hadith, we learn the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us to take our children even when they're young. Why? Because by taking them when they're young, it will build that desire and love for the house of Allah. And I can tell you that practically. When we talk about vacation as a family, my young daughter, she tells me, can we go for Umrah? MashaAllah, may Allah reward her. But I tell her, we're going for vacation. And that's a different thing. Maybe you're enjoying it there, but for us it's work there. But you know, how does that happen? That happens because you take them and they go. So that builds that yearning and that desire in them. So that's what we're learning from Rasulullah. But the main point here, since we're talking about the subject of teaching, in this example, the Prophet made it a habit. When somebody asked a question, he answered and he gave more than what the questioner asked. And inshallah, from this we can continue tomorrow. Wa akhir da'wa alhamdulillah.